Christian Reformed Church, and it is my privilege to welcome you to one more weekend of worship online only. We will not be gathering this weekend, but you'll notice the Christmas tree is up, and that's to remind everyone that it's not too late to go on to worldrenew.net and make your gift catalog selection. We give goats to our girls every year, and it's just a fun family tradition. So worldrenew.net to support the relief and development work of the Christian Reformed Church worldwide. Call to worship this week, the second Sunday in Advent, is from Psalm 98, a psalm that's not actually quoted by Matthew or Luke in their Jesus story narratives, but you'll see why I chose it in just a minute. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He's revealed his righteousness to the nations. That's the Jesus event. Father, thank you for this invitation one more time to think about your salvation as we get ready for Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Why this psalm? Well, during Advent, I'm choosing my themes from some of my favorite Christmas songs, carols. Last week, Emmanuel from Isaiah 7. Next week, the prophet Micah and Bethlehem. This week, Isaac Watts' great 1719 hymn, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. The words became repeated, the chorus repeated, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. 100 years later, when the American Lowell Mason set this this great text to the tune Antioch, they called it the fuguing tune, where you repeat the lines as new voices joined the song. But Isaac Watts wrote that psalm as as his expression of Psalm 98. Back in the 1700s, in the 18th century, there was a little debate about whether you could sing hymns or just the psalms. And so Isaac Watts wrote this great hymn and said it's based on Psalm 98. And loosely it is. You'll see why in a few minutes. But it's a song that has become a great Christmas favorite, with the themes of the Lord coming, with the themes of preparing room for the one for whom there was no room in the inn in Bethlehem. Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known, revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp, the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Psalm 98, a psalm in Book 4 of the Psalms, which is their collection of prayers and songs. John Walton calls it a cantata, a Christmas cantata, pulled together after the exile in Babylon. When they didn't have a place to worship, they created the Psalms to be their new temple, even their new holy place to meet with God. And Psalm 98, which inspired Isaac Watts' great hymn, becomes that kind of place this morning to meet with God and to think again about his salvation. Now, I mentioned that there aren't a whole lot of psalms quoted in Matthew and Luke's telling of the Jesus story. In fact, there are none. The psalms don't get quoted until Satan quotes them in his dialogue with Jesus in the wilderness. And was trying to think about why that might be, and I think it's just that the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the minor prophets, just take over the Jesus story in the mind of Matthew and Luke as they record the Jesus story. But it's also because the Psalms are specifically worship, and they're behind the scenes as Zechariah and Mary and Simeon and Anna sing psalmish kinds of things in the Jesus story. So it's not that there aren't psalms there, it's that they're not quoted exactly. But Isaac Watts takes Psalm 98 and turns it into a great Christmas hymn. Now, he's not the only one who's written a Christmas hymn with a psalm theme. Two others came to mind this week. One was Dietrich Bonhoeffer's wonderful hymn, By Gracious Powers. He wrote it from a Gestapo prison in 1944, Christmas time 1944, just a few months before his death. It was smuggled out to his fiancée, Maria, and it's an expression of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's great faith that during the Advent season in 1944 in a Gestapo prison, he can still write, by gracious power, so wonderfully sheltered and confidently waiting, come what may, we know that God is with us night and morning and never fails to greet us each new day. If you'd like to hear that psalm sung, there is a link to a version of that in our e-bulletin this week. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a Advent hymn with themes from Psalm 98 as well. And of all people, Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a Christmas song with a Psalms theme. Only his was a lament. Now, you don't know it as a lament because we leave off that that key verse. But his 1863 Christmas poem, Christmas Bells, has become a very well-known Christmas hymn. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He wrote it on Christmas Day, 1963. A month earlier, his son had been badly wounded in the Civil War, in the Battle of Mines Run. He did not want his son to join the Union Army, but his son said, "I've got to," and became a lieutenant in the Union Army. His wife had died. His second wife had died in 1861, just 2 years earlier, and he was in a time of grieving as he thought about Christmas. His son wounded, his wife recently having died, and wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play." We leave out this verse. Then from each black accursed mouth, not a mouth of a person, but the mouth of a cannon, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill toward to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the heartstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And even Longfellow, with his son recovering from serious wounds, his wife having died, is able to end his song, then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep, the wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men, a song which echoes the themes of Psalm 98 and some of the lament psalms as well. This morning, Psalm 98, from the perspective of Isaac Watts, and some of these other great hymn writers who've tackled this great psalm. Look at Psalm 98 with me one more time. I sing to the Lord a new song. Three stanzas, verses 4 to 6, and verses 7, 8, and 9. Three stanzas which tell the story of watching for the Lord's salvation, of me being invited to participate in this great welcome to God, and then of me getting ready for that new world which the Lord is going to bring. Psalm 98. It's in Book 4 of the Psalms. Book 4 is the portion of the Psalms which reflects especially the hope for a reestablished presence of God in a restored land that God has given them. It's the return. It's the exiles returning and looking for a place to worship. I'm looking for a place to praise, looking for a reminder of God's faithfulness. So it starts, I sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. For the Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Lord. He remembered his love, chesed, his covenant faithfulness. and his faithfulness. That is a word in the Psalms that is reserved almost exclusively for God remembering the covenant he made with David. In the same way that in Genesis chapter 9, God looks down and remembers Noah. In the same way in Exodus, God looks down and remembers the slaves. Here, God looked into the exile and remembered his people. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. Remember I said this is book four, a book of celebrating that new place God has given him in a restored land. Book three ends with exactly this theme. Psalm 89, O Lord, where is your great former love which you swore with your faithfulness, that's the word, which your faithfulness swore to David? Remember, Lord, how your servant has been mocked, how I bear in my heart the taunts of the nations, the taunts in which the enemies have mocked, O Lord, with which they have mocked every step of your anointed one. Praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. And with that doxology, book four begins and celebrates this new place to praise God. It begins watching for the Lord's salvation, his strong arm, his right hand. The Lord has made known, he has revealed, and he has remembered. This is about what God is doing. And isn't that the Christmas story? What God has done on this earth for us. Stanza two. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Joy to the world. That's it. Break forth with joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of the melody, with the trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. The structure of Psalm 98 puts a focus on this middle section. The invitation to me to join not just my fellow pilgrims who've returned to the promised land, but all of creation to sing praise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. It's centered bookended with make a joyful noise. And in the middle, sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of the melody. When the Hebrew poet repeats a phrase at the end of one line, at the beginning of the next, that's an attention-getting tool to put our focus on the middle of this psalm, which is an invitation to me to join all of creation in praising God. Stanza three, get ready for a new world. And this is where our new creation thinking really has its foundation. For let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all who dwell in it. The sea roaring is usually a bad thing in Scripture. Evil things come from the sea. Monsters, beasts, Philistines, Greeks. I mean, they all come from the sea. Here, it's a sign that even the sea itself is going to respond to God's arrival. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king, for he is coming to judge. And that's why in Isaac Watts' great hymn, he also reflects on far as the curse is found, Genesis chapter 3. He brings in the curse because Jesus comes because there is a problem on this earth. The problem is the curse, and Jesus comes to deal with that problem. Before the Lord, sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity, fairness. Get ready for a new world. Psalm 98, a psalm which gets us watching for God's salvation. What is he doing? How has he acted? And when is he going to remember his faithfulness to me? Those are the questions. That's what we're watching for. Stanza two, an invitation for me to join all of creation in singing praise to our God. And chapter three, a reminder to get ready for new creation. Get ready for new creation. What a great introduction. What a great welcome for the Advent season. Well, how do we begin living out Isaac Watts' vision? And just a quick note here. Isaac Watts had some theological, I'm going to call them peculiarities here. And one way you know this is by the fact that the postmillennialists claim Isaac Watts as their own. The Calvinists claim Isaac Watts as their own. Even the Unitarians claim Isaac Watts as their own. He had some peculiarities. And Jonathan Edwards had some sharp things to say as they carried on a conversation way back in the beginning of the 18th century. But I'm gonna let that go for now, because this hymn, "Joy to the World, the Lord Has Come," and Psalm 98, which inspired it, is so important to the Jesus story that we're gonna let Isaac Watts' peculiarities kind of go for just a few minutes here. Three thoughts as to how I live out this this Advent hymn and Psalm 98. First, Advent, Isaac Watts knew. Bonhoeffer and Longfellow definitely knew. And Mr. Beaver knew as well. Advent is an opportunity. First Advent and Second Advent. For me to engage with evil. As Aslan, the Jesus character, prepares to arrive in Narnia, Mr. Beaver recites this version of Psalm 98 in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. "Wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets his death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again." Theology from Mr. Beaver. Really good theology from Isaac Watts. That Jesus is coming to judge because there is evil in this world. There was evil that Longfellow responded to in 1863. The cannons roar in the Civil War. And certainly, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was responding to evil as he wrote from prison in December of 1944 about God's good power to rule his world and the good gifts he had received, even as now a prisoner for several years of the Gestapo. "Wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. He's going to judge." Right? And from Psalm 98, "Before the Lord he come, let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth." And whether we respond this Advent season by sending a world renew gift and celebrating the opportunity to address some of the inequity and evil in this world, or serve at Anacortes Family Center, or ring bells this year for the Salvation Army. I encourage you to think this year that Jesus came to deal with evil. And that's an opportunity we have, a reminder we have every Christmas season. Now it's built into to Christmas, right? It's built into Christmas. At its worst with Herod and the innocents in Bethlehem, but the very fact that Mary and Joseph left Nazareth for Bethlehem because they are in occupied Judea and a brutal emperor has said it's time to tax, in a very difficult political season, which sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? The very context of Christmas reminds us that this is not a peaches and cream season any more in the first century than it is today. But it's still an opportunity to remember that Jesus comes. He comes once to deal with sin in my life, and he comes again to judge the world the world at a second advent. And this is where Watts gets a little mushy, because it's hard to know whether he's talking about first advent or second advent sometimes in Joy to the World, the Lord has come. And the reality is, it doesn't matter. It's both advents that that Watts is talking about. Secondly, Advent helps me find my place in this great story about how Jesus came to reconcile all things, even creation. Remember, in Psalm 98, creation sings. The seas, the hills, they roar in response to Jesus' arrival. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to just read a few verses that reflect on how cosmic Christmas really is, beginning with a personal statement and then into the whole creation. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And those are words that reflect the warrior God theme of Psalm 98. And in many of the commentaries, especially the Expositor's Bible commentary work on Psalm 98, there's a beautiful little study of Yahweh as the divine warrior. And he really is, in Psalm 98, a warrior coming to reestablish his reign on this earth. A theme that's applied to Jesus in his first advent and Jesus in his second advent. For he has rescued us from the dominion. No, past tense, first advent. He's already rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then this great Jesus hymn, for he is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the big picture. That's why all creation sings, all creation roars as Jesus makes his return, as the Lord bears his arm and we see his salvation being worked out. And then it gets personal. And he is the head of the body, the church, the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness of the Godhead dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself, and another all things, things on earth, or things in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God. Once I was alienated from God. But now he is reconciled by this incredible Christ event, by Christ's physical body through death, to present us holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. Advent gives me an opportunity to see the world be joyful because Jesus is arriving. The seas roar. Tonight the ships went by through Guemus Channel and the carols were blaring. In Anacortes, the Christmas carols were being sung. The seas roar. The mountains shake because Jesus is coming back to reconcile all things to himself. And Christmas gives me that chance, that reminder, that opportunity one more time to find my place in this great cosmic shift that happened in the Jesus event. As he comes in step one of God's reconciliation plan. And how do I know it's true? Because I have experienced that new creation moment in my life. I've experienced it. All creation will be reconciled. I've already experienced that once. Christmas gives me a chance to celebrate that one more time. And just like Psalm 98 was written as an opportunity to find that place in the restored community after the exile, to find that place to worship, that place to meet with God. It wasn't going to be in a Holy of Holies now. There was no Ark of the Covenant. It was now going to be through a different kind of worship, and the Psalms were at the core of that new worship. Today, Advent gives me an opportunity one more time to find a place. It's called the Christmas season. And you know it's there because you drive down the streets, and even people who aren't people of faith have Christmas lights on the house to remind you that this is the time of year in which we pause and we make space in our lives to praise God. Excuse me. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in a joyous song and sing praises. And the whole country, most of the world, is doing that. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of the melody. And in case you didn't catch it, I mean, that verse is supposed to just grab you and say, I'm invited to do that. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the Lord, before the King, the Lord. Where else could a place like Anacortes have boats going down the channel this evening where people were singing hymns like Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. I mean, that's great theology and great praise to God that the entire world is joining together to sing. And I think Christmas is a great time to celebrate, to make space for some Christmas praise of our own. Psalm 98 is a reminder that God's people have always made space, made a place, given themselves the language to worship God, to sing his praises. At some time this Christmas season, even though we can't meet and sing together, I hope you take joy to the world and sing out. For our Zoom worship, that'll be leading our worship, and nobody will be able to hear you sing. If while that's playing, your computer is muted, and you listen in. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Father, thank you for sending Jesus, that first Advent, and thank you for the reminder that that new creation experience.